This is a Tadad podcast. Welcome to the Tadad podcast. My name is Chris Esso. In one of our previous COVID special episodes, moderated by Mr. Michael Keane, Deputy Director of the Fiscal Affairs Department, we discussed various ways in which Fiscal Affairs Department has been responding to the COVID-19 crisis. Mr. Vitor Gaspar, Director of the Fiscal Affairs Department, highlighted ways in which the department was working cohesively to continue supporting member countries. This episode of the Tadad podcast special series continues to address the overall response to the COVID-19 pandemic by the Fiscal Affairs Department. Today's episode will be moderated by Mr. Juan Toro, Assistant Director of Revenue Administration Division 1, Fiscal Affairs Department. Mr. Toro, you have the floor.
Dear audience, first of all, we do hope you and your family are doing well during the COVID-19 crisis. In this podcast, we are going to talk about the impact of the crisis on countries' tax systems, notably in the many changes it has triggered in tax policy settings, revenue administration operations, and legislative agendas. For this conversation, we have three distinguished panelists from the IMF. Catherine Beyer, Assistant Director at the Fiscal Affairs Department and Chief of Revenue Administration Division 2. Ruth de Moich, Chief of Tax Policy Division, and Christophe Beisenherr, Senior Counsel in Tax Matters. My name is Juan Toro, Assistant Director at the IMF's Fiscal Affairs Department and Chief of Revenue Administration Division 1. Let's start our conversation by pointing out that the COVID-19 crisis has developed quite rapidly, affecting most countries in the world. However, the pace of COVID-19 spreading worldwide has been different. Several countries in Asia and Europe were impacted earlier, in late 2019, beginning of 2020. In recent months, COVID-19 has spread fast to other regions. The different pace of COVID-19 spreading has also impacted the pace of responses by government. In particular, the far-reaching lockdown in private and public sectors, a key measure to contain the spread of COVID-19 in many countries, is causing economic downturns with significant consequences, including tax revenue declines when government revenues are needed the most to finance crisis response measures. This context has demanded and continues to require multiple changes in the component of the country's tax system. So, Catherine and Christophe, let's talk about this. How would you characterize the impact of the crisis in countries' tax policy settings, revenue administrations, and tax legal frameworks? Catherine, the floor is yours.
Thanks for the question. A relevant issue is overall preparedness. This crisis is testing the capability of tax administrations in all countries to address a rapidly evolving and unprecedented situation. The fact that the crisis is affecting some countries earlier than others gives tax administrations in the latter group a bit more time to prepare their response. The message for these administrations is take advantage of the time you have to identify priority areas where your administration needs to be prepared. Some administrations have business continuity plans and will need to start implementing and adapting them. We are seeing that administrations that are more digitalized have been able to cope better with the impact of the lockdown.
Thank you, Catherine. Yeah, from a legal perspective, it's kind of interesting to step back and realize how much of an impact this crisis is having on many public institutions, including on parliaments and court systems, in addition to tax administration. So parliaments, for instance, have had to adapt to the crisis by ensuring that they can continue to operate under physical restrictions and cope with reduced presence of members, for instance, by adjusting procedures to allow remote voting or reduced quorums for decision making. It also means that Parliament's capability to exercise their oversight functions may be impaired, which in turn may put a greater onus on transparency reporting and reporting requirements by government agencies during this crisis period, including, for instance, by revenue authorities to enable parliamentary scrutiny to take place at a later stage. Court systems similarly have been impacted by the crisis. For instance, the U.S. Supreme Court, for the first time in its history, heard oral arguments via telephone. But the overall capacity for courts to process and existing pending cases is likely to be impaired during a crisis period. So all of these difficulties in the wider sort of legal system may also impact the operation of the tax system more specifically, to which we will come back later in this conversation.
Thank you, Catherine and Christoph. And as we said, the COVID crisis is affecting most countries and particularly most IMF member countries. And the institution is responding swiftly with aggressively pushing out financing to help countries deal with the health and economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic. More than 100 out of 189 member countries have made requests for financial support, and around half of them has been approved by end of April. How the IMF is supporting countries cope and respond to the crisis in areas under the taxation area? Ruth, Catherine, can you tell us about how the IMF is responding in these areas?
Thank you very much, Juan, and good day, everyone. As you say, Juan, the IMF country teams are currently working day and night to support the countries with all kinds of credit facilities and with recommendations on how to design appropriate policy responses to the COVID-19 crisis. Now, one unique element of the IMF is that the country teams are supported by our technical tax experts who know exactly what countries are doing and what has worked and what hasn't in the past. This more granular advice on taxation is critical in providing practical guidance to policymakers and administrations. Our tax team does work very closely with the IMF country teams in providing hands-on recommendations and analysis in their day-to-day interactions with authorities. And in that sense, the IMF capacity development work that we are usually providing on the tax side really gets integrated into the work that the country teams are doing on a day-to-day basis.
Catherine, on the administration side, how your area is supporting countries?
The IMF has a big comparative advantage in providing countries with help in addressing the crisis because we have capacity development operations in most countries around the world. This includes resident tax advisors in 10 regional capacity development centers around the world and many country-based resident advisors. We are drawing on our knowledge of the strengths and relative weaknesses of revenue administrations around the world to provide concrete, practical, and tailored advice to individual countries to prepare for and address the crisis. The IMF also provides countries with information on other countries' experiences and responses by virtue of having an on-the-ground presence in so many countries. The Fiscal Affairs Department has also published a series of guidance notes to help inform countries' responses. And we're working closely with many tax administrations to tailor the set of recommendations in those notes to their specific situation.
Thank you. Very, very important complementarity with the financial support the institution is providing, helping countries on the capacity development side and particularly in the areas more affected. As we said, revenues and government revenue will be much needed and tax system will be very important in looking ahead. Let's go into a little bit more specific. Tell us in a nutshell, Ruth and Catherine, what is the type of advice you are providing to countries in your capacity development engagement? And also, you mentioned some guidance notes, some special analytical work to help countries cope and respond to the crisis. It would be good to give the audience a little bit more specificity. Ruth, in the tax policy space?
Thank you, Juan. On the policy side, based on the experiences that we have, we give recommendations on how countries can best respond to the immediate needs of the crisis. And one immediate priority for countries is, of course, to address the health issues, and tax policies can help there. For example, countries can lift import tariffs on certain hygiene products or medical equipment, or they can allow for additional tax deductions for certain investments that improve the hygiene at the workplace, like ventilation systems or IT equipment that can facilitate social distancing. The other immediate need is well-targeted tax relief for households and businesses, for instance, by delaying or temporarily waiving payments for certain taxes or social contributions. This can mitigate the hardship of people, protect jobs, and support business continuity. The targeting of these policies is important, though. For instance, now is not the time to waive taxes on flights or hotels to boost their demand, as these activities contribute to the spread of the virus. It is also not the time to cut corporate income tax rates or offer tax holidays, as this will only help the firms who are making profits and not the ones who are suffering losses and who need it the most, such as small businesses.
Catherine, on the administration side, you mentioned these analytical notes. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. Let me tell you about three aspects that are brought out in the notes. One, maintain business continuity and keeping staff and taxpayers healthy. Two, helping businesses and individuals cope with financial stress. And three, guarding against a collapse in compliance and preparing to rebuild tax bases. Let me just talk a little bit about each of these major recommendations. Revenue administrations are encouraged to implement business continuity plans to maintain the operation of the tax and customs systems with a reduced workforce. The focus here should be on keeping staff and taxpayers healthy by facilitating remote work and remote transactions as much as possible. In the early stages, revenue agencies should focus on helping businesses and individuals cope with financial stress by easing taxpayer compliance burdens and obligations, implementing new tax policies, enhancing communication, and facilitating trade. Many countries are extending tax return filing and payment deadlines without penalty, with clear guidance on the types of taxes and taxpayers that are eligible for extension, as well as the duration of the extension. Rood referred to various types of tax policy measures governments can introduce to provide financial support to businesses and individuals. Tax agencies must implement these measures quickly and effectively to achieve the intended effect. Tax agencies will also need to implement a comprehensive external communication strategy to inform taxpayers of the new tax policies and any change in tax agencies' operations. At the same time, administrations should closely monitor revenue developments, particularly collections from large taxpayers, and put in place targeted enforcement measures to prevent excessive revenue losses. Administrations should consider temporarily reducing, but not eliminating, audit and arrears collection actions, and redirect enforcement towards the most critical and emerging compliance risks, for example, possible abuse of relief measures, as well as those industries that may be experiencing a boom in business. The goal here should be to prevent non-compliance from becoming entrenched and difficult to reverse after the crisis is over and when tax bases need to be rebuilt.
Thank you, Catherine. So pretty hectic time on the policy and administration side. And certainly this also has implication on the legislative front. Christophe, for what we hear from Ruth and Catherine, government's measure in policy and administration will demand substantive legislative agendas. What would you advise to countries on how to deal with the possible overwhelming legislative agenda without jeopardizing the soundness of tax legal framework?
Yes, thank you, Juan. Indeed, in this environment of crisis, I would say certainty, providing certainty for taxpayers as well as tax administrations would come at a high premium, probably higher than ever. But at the same time, the urgency with which governments and tax administrations have had to and continue to have to respond. So this then puts a premium on legal instruments that can be implemented and adjusted more rapidly than acts of parliament, laws. So thinking of things like regulations or decrees, depending on the legal system or administrative rules and guidance. It also puts a greater onus on tax administrations to step up taxpayer services, for instance, by providing guidance in a rapidly changing environment where taxpayers often face acute economic and social challenges, as Catherine also mentioned. And this could be summarized by saying, you know, tax administrations should communicate early and often with taxpayers. However, of course, such flexible legal instruments also need to have a solid basis in law. While this may be achieved differently in different legal systems, for instance, through
omnibus legislation or emergency laws that provide a legal basis for the ultimate objective should remain the same, which is to preserve the rule of law, ensure tax certainty, and create a predictable environment for taxpayers, even in times of crisis. In terms of the type of measures that may need to be taken to help tax administrations and taxpayers weather storm of the initial phase of crisis, it could be useful to think of this in terms of the need to temporarily suspend or put into hibernation, so to speak, various aspects of the tax system, but not just in terms of extending payment deadlines, as Catherine also mentioned, but also in terms of other tax processes and procedures, such as objections, appeals deadlines, maybe audit periods, assessment periods, but also judicial procedures, and even some enforcement and collection efforts, again, as Catherine also mentioned. However, the overall objective should still be to preserve long-term integrity of the tax system. So by not introducing ad hoc derogations, exemptions that may become entrenched or for other policy reasons, as Ruud mentioned, are ineffective and undesirable. So in this respect, we like to give preference to such measures that can nudge the system in a more desirable direction. So I will just finish by referring to a guidance note that we published in the same series that Ruud and Catherine mentioned, specifically on tax law design considerations that countries should consider when implementing responses to the crisis, which is also available on the IMF website.
Thank you very much, Christoph. Countries will and has been doing a lot on the legislative front. They have to be careful how these legal changes are done and what is the instrument that they need to consider in order to make fast changes, but without jeopardizing the integrity of the tax system, as you said. Now, looking ahead, though many countries are still in the middle of the crisis, some encouraging news shows that containment measures are working and restrictions are starting to be loosened. What will be your advice to countries on how they prepare and what they prioritize for the recovery phase in your areas of policy, administration, and legal framework? Let's start with Ruud and then Christoph and Catherine. Ruud?
Thanks, Juan. After the pandemic will be under control, we expect there will be at least two stages of the recovery. At the first stage, right after the pandemic is under control, it is likely that private demand might still be low, and there may be a need for some demand stimulus from governments who can afford it. This can include a number of tax measures, such as temporary relief in the value-added tax, tax credits for low-income households, or temporary investment incentives for businesses. Now, after that, there will be a stage two, and that's the time to pay back the increased debt. Countries can do two things on the tax policy sides. The first is to take this as an opportunity to design a better tax system. For instance, countries can broaden their tax base, they can enhance progressivity of the personal income tax, or they can better exploit environmental taxes or property taxes. Some countries can also tax capital or corporate income more or better. Such improvements are especially needed in many developing countries, which is also why the IMF's capacity building programs can help. The second option is that countries may consider temporary solidarity taxes, for instance, through surcharges on the highest rate of the personal income tax. That is something that several countries have done in the past after big shocks or disasters to pay for the reconstructions, for instance, in Germany after the reunification or in Japan after the earthquake in 2012. Such solidarity charges can also be levied on corporations, as only companies that make positive profits would be liable to pay such a tax, and not the ones who make losses or the ones who carry forward the losses that originate from the crisis period.
It's from a legal perspective, the kind of legal instrument and the complexity thereof will, of course, be informed by the tax policy measures being considered. So, for instance, Ruud mentioned in the sort of first stage of the recovery where governments may want to introduce fiscal stimulus, increase aggregate demand, for instance, by temporarily reducing VAT rates. That's legally relatively easy to achieve. Similarly, moving towards the recovery and fiscal consolidation phase, imposing surcharges or surtaxes on existing tax bases and tax rates is legally relatively straightforward. However, when countries consider tapping into new tax bases, for instance, by introducing a form of wealth tax in a system that currently does not have such a tax, of course, designing such a tax and putting it into operation would be more complex, both legally and administratively. And in all of this, of course, legal principles of proportionality, non-discrimination, and also need to be taken into account to avoid legal jeopardy later on in implementation phase. Also picking up on a point that several of us have already made, which is this guiding principle of taking the opportunity to move the tax system into a more desirable direction. Of course, legal instruments can also be used here to achieve those things that Ruud mentioned in terms of broadening bases, et cetera, rolling back exemptions, special regimes, et cetera. There are other sort of more new instruments or tax features could also be enhanced. Things like taxing rents more effectively, but also continuing to strengthen countries' ability to protect against base erosion. So also on these subjects, we're planning a publication that we hope to come out, in the next week or so, which will discuss the issues of solidarity surcharges and other post-price revenue raising options. So look out for that also to come on the IMF website.
Yeah, from the point of view of revenue administration, in entering the recovery phase, countries will be at different stages of how they are affected by the crisis. Recovery will be a demanding task in the context of a potentially slow and uneven recovery and possible economic shifts, with many businesses negatively affected while others have benefited. Inevitably, taxpayer compliance levels will have deteriorated. Administrations will need to consider activities in the following areas to recover. First, they'll need to address key risks during the recovery phase. There may still be restrictions on the availability of staff because of ongoing social distancing measures. They'll need to organize the management of the recovery phase by assigning formal responsibility for preparing the recovery process. A critical aspect will be recovering taxpayers' compliance and payments levels. A compliance recovery plan should provide for updated segmentation of taxpayers and traders, for example, and targeted interventions. Administrations will also have to manage the recovery of core business processes, such as filing, payment, audit, and arrears enforcement, and draw lessons from the experience, especially on how well the business continuity plan worked and the role of digital services and operations.
Thank you very much, Ruud, Christophe, Catherine. Dear audience, we hope you have enjoyed this conversation on the challenges COVID-19 is posing to countries, how they have been responding to this unprecedented crisis, and how the IMF is supporting them cope with this crisis and its impacts in countries' tax system. In the area of capacity building in the taxation area, a core activity of the IMF Fiscal Affairs Department, the teams remain strongly committed to continue supporting countries through several channels, including the new channel On Demand, a dedicated email address, cdsupport-revenue@imf.org, through which countries can send queries or specific issues in tax policy and administration and request capacity development in this area. Thank you very much, and see you in a future podcast.
The TEDAT podcast is available free of charge. The views expressed in the TEDAT podcast are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent those of the International Monetary Fund or the IMF policy. Materials from the podcast may be reproduced with proper attribution. Comments and correspondence may be emailed to podcast@tedat.org. TEDAT is a collaborative undertaking of the following partners: the European Union, France, Germany, the International Monetary Fund, Japan, the Netherlands, Norway, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the World Bank.